In the book of Jonah, we see tremendous pictures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tremendous pictures, so many references, so many pictures, so many themes, so many pointers to Christ, his death, his salvation, his glory, the depravity of man, the rebellion of man, the hard-heartedness of man, the preaching of the gospel from on high, the seeking out of the lost sheep of Israel, and the contrasts between law and grace, between the works of man and the attempts of man to save himself, and the grace of God which bringeth salvation, and the attitude in men's hearts that war against the grace of God and his undeserved favour of his people. In chapter 1, the Lord calls to Jonah to go to preach against that great city of Nineveh. But Jonah chooses to flee from the presence of the Lord, not wishing to go and preach to Nineveh because of the prejudice which is in his heart against that wicked people, as we see later in the book. So Jonah goes on a ship to Tarshish, and the Lord sends a great wind into the sea, a tempest that causes all the men on the ship to fear. And Jonah slept. And the shipmaster came unto Jonah and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And Jonah responds and tells them who he is and why this trouble had come upon them. So in verse 11, they said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Yes, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He fled. God said, "Go this way, Jonah." And Jonah's rebellious heart cried out no, and he went another way. Jonah's rebellion here wasn't simply the rebellion of the natural heart of sin, but in many ways this was the rebellion of a religious man. The natural heart of man when applied to religion. For later, when Jonah was miserable because of the repentance that God granted to the people of Nineveh, He said to his Lord, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That's why I wouldn't go and preach repentance unto Nineveh. So Jonah knew God, and he knew that God was a gracious God and merciful. And he knew that if he went and preached unto Nineveh, that though Nineveh was wicked, though Nineveh was full of sin, he feared that God would not judge them, that God would not deal with them in justice, but that God would be gracious unto them. And his natural inclination was that these people are evil and these people need to be judged. It's not fair that they should be spared. They've earned God's wrath and his anger. Destroy them, Lord. So his religious inclination warred against his feeling that God might not judge them and destroy them, but that God might be gracious to them. And he rebelled against this grace. He rebelled that they should not get what they deserved. So he fled from God. He didn't mind doing the will of a God who rewards the works of man. But he didn't like the idea of a God who was sovereign and gracious and who forgives iniquity. And our natural hearts war against the gospel. We want to be rewarded for what we've done. And we feel that people should be judged for what they haven't done. And the idea that God will save a people, not because of their works or their will, but because of his good pleasure, fills us with enmity. And we flee from such a God. We rebel against him, we turn our backs from him, we go from his presence. Not only does man flee from God because of his inbred corruption, but even religious men reject Almighty God and his gospel. Even the religious dislike the reality of the truth of sovereign grace. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are religious or irreligious, we've all gone astray. Just as Paul proves in the early chapters of Romans, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to Jew and to Gentile. And the gospel is preached unto all men, because all men have gone astray. Because all are under sin. Because all have sought their own ways. And none have sought God. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that includes you. There is none that doeth good. Not even you. Whoever you may be, however religious you may be, however unspotted with the world you may be, however separate you may be, however zealous for the scriptures you may be, however zealous in meeting with the people of God you may be, however zealous in all the things of your religion you may be, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You're either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ at the sovereign mercy of God because he chooses to spare you, or you're damned because of your own works, because there's no good in you. We have all, like Jonah, fled from the presence of the Lord. We may speak of the Lord. We may go to those places called churches. We may read the scriptures. We may think and act like we're in God's presence. But our heart rebels against the true God and his true gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ as he truly is. And as such, we flee from his presence. We don't mind going into the presence of an idol which we create in our own minds. We don't mind going into the presence of our own gods, like the mariners upon this ship, who each cried unto their own god when this tempest came upon the ship. We have our own gods, we have our own Jesus. But we don't love the Christ of the gospel. And we flee from his presence. We fight by nature against free and sovereign grace. For Jonah fled. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto their own gods, and cast forth their wares into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. There was a mighty tempest. The Lord blew upon the waters. The Spirit of God came upon the face of the deep and blew, as he did at creation. As he did when the Lord spake and brought this world out of darkness into being, and spake and made a man, and spake and breathed life into the soul of man, that man lived. The Lord has a way of bringing life. The Lord has a way of bringing life in the darkness, both at the beginning of time and through his gospel. You may flee from his presence. You may think you can hide from God. But if God purposes your salvation, he will pursue you no matter where you go. And no matter where you are, there will be a wind blowing upon the waters of the deep. You may be out there on an ocean, on the waters, in the world of darkness and sin, sailing upon the waters of sin and rebellion. But God will find you. God will seek you. And he will send out a great wind into the sea. There will be a blowing upon your sinful heart, your sinful soul. The Spirit will find you. And great fear will enter in. Because when the Lord begins to work in a man's soul like this, he becomes aware that he cannot escape God. And he cannot escape the judgment. And he cannot escape the wrath which is due unto him for his sins. That there is nowhere that he can flee from the presence of the Lord. And left to himself, destruction will come upon him. And you, O sinner, you may be fleeing this day from the presence of the Lord. You may be floating upon the sea of your sin. But if God chooses to send a tempest by his Spirit through the preaching of his gospel, through the preaching of his truth, if he seeks to pursue you, you will not escape him. And either you will go down into the depths of that ocean in judgment because you have no answer for your sin. Or you will have to cry out unto your God that he should have mercy upon you. Because these on the ship, they had their gods. They had gods that they worshipped. And in such a state, they went to their gods. And when trouble like this comes your way, you may go to your God, you may go to your Jesus, but will he hear? The Jesus that saves you by your own works or your own will he hear in this day? When he stands there at the side, on the wayside, and you're there on the ocean, and he says, well, go on then, just row to safety, and you're there in that storm, are you going to row? What good will such a God do you then? What good will such a Jesus do you then? One who says, well, come on, I'll receive you, just row across to where I am, and you can get out of your ship. But the ship's breaking apart, and it's sinking, and water's coming in. And you're without strength. And your works are useless in such a state. And your will is useless. You want to be spared. You want to go there. You want to go to heaven. But you can't get there. And there's nothing you can do about your sin. And there's nothing you can do about the tempest and the calamity that's upon you. You're sinking. And you're sinking fast. And your crying out to your gods won't do. Well, where was Jonah? Jonah lay asleep. And the shipmaster came to him who slept and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. God's dealings with Jonah began with a tempest. But that tempest found Jonah asleep. And you in your sin, with the wrath of God coming upon you, with the hours and the minutes of your life ticking away until the day of judgment approaches, may well be fast asleep. Not only are you in trouble, not only are you full of sin, not only are the thunderclouds building up above your head, not only is your life fast ebbing away, but you're asleep. Oh, fool that you are, you're asleep. You're apathetic, you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb, you're dead. Calamity and judgment is approaching you and you're apathetic. You hear the gospel, you go to meetings, you hear about salvation. You hear about the need for righteousness. You hear about the need to be spared of your sins and you're asleep. You come and you go, you come to the meeting, you go home again, and you're asleep. Dead. Yes, so often that's where this tempest finds us. Like Jonah, asleep. And we need to be woken up. Awake thou that sleepest, as it says in Ephesians. Awake. Speaking unto Christ, but unto his people through him, who in him, as those who were once dead, rose from the grave, being given everlasting life. They were asleep, they were dead, but God comes unto them in the gospel and says unto those who sleep, awake, thou that sleepest. And the shipmaster came unto Jonah and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. We're calling upon ours, call upon yours. If so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. Jonah needed to be woken up. The message came unto him. The storm blew outside, the spirit was coming upon him, the spirit was blowing. But here another speaks unto him, there's another voice. The shipmaster comes unto him and says unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? There's a voice, a man, one who comes unto him and cries out unto him, call upon your God that we perish not. The shipmaster. Who's the shipmaster but a figure of God in the gospel coming unto his people, crying unto them, wake up. Call upon God that we perish not. As in chapter 3 at Nineveh, there was a people upon whom the judgment of God was coming. There was a people upon whom the tempest was coming. The winds were blowing. And the king of Nineveh says unto them, call, cry unto God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Like the shipmaster, he calls unto the people in such a state, call unto God, maybe he will spare. And God, as a shipmaster, as a king, as the Lord of lords, cries out through his gospel and those whom he sends by that gospel unto a wicked generation, unto sinners, unto those who are dead in sins, unto sleepers like you. Call out unto God. Who knows if he will think upon us that we perish not. Call out. Well, Jonah said unto them, when quizzed, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now here we have the gospel so forcibly presented unto us. Jonah is both a type and a figure of the first Adam in his rebellion against God, in his fleeing from the presence of God, as Adam did after sinning in the garden, in his rebellion. And this book gives us some account of God's dealings with Jonah as one, a child of the first Adam, upon whom the gospel comes and delivers and brings unto salvation. But he's also a figure, a type of Jesus Christ, the last Adam. The last Adam. These things are overlapped, but most forcibly he is a picture of Christ. And this ship upon the waters, full of men who were lost, full of men who knew they'd perish, had one in the ship with them who was asleep, an Hebrew, who says unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Throw me in the sea and you'll be delivered. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Put me to death. Throw me into the sea. Throw me into the sin and the judgment of God against it. Cause me to die, and all will be calm. He is a picture of the first and the last Adam, and they're being united in death. Because when Christ died, his people died with him. When Christ died, he bore the sin and the sins of his people. And because he took their sins as his, as their substitute, he could say, I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Such was Christ's identity with his people. Such was his taking their sins as his and owning their sins as his, that he could take their sins and their guilt from them and say, slay me and you'll be spared. Cast me into the waters and all will be calm. For whilst I am here bearing these sins, this judgment is raining down. But if I take these sins from you and bear them into the sea and go down into the depths on your, for your behalf, then all will be calm. You will be spared. You will be spared. So he preached the gospel unto them. The gospel which demanded the death of a substitute in their place. A saviour. A saviour. How we see in Jonah the rebellion of the first Adam. How we see how the Lord pursues him and how the tempest stirs him up. But how we see when the first Adam meets the second, when the first man meets the second, when the first Adam meets the last Adam, how we see when they're united that salvation is the result. In Jonah's willingness to be cast from the ship into the waters, that the others should be saved, we see a glimpse, a view of the self-sacrifice in love and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Oh, the boundless love that he'd give himself for them, that he'd take their sins upon him, that he'd be thrown asunder, that he would die that they should live. Oh, the power and the love of the gospel. Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. But did the mariners immediately on hearing this, in such a state, in such calamity, did they immediately take him up and throw him in? They did not. They did not want his blood upon them. No, they sought to deliver themselves from the calamity if they could. So even though they found him asleep, even though they'd asked him, even though he told them plainly what they must do, verse 14 shows us, verse 13 shows us, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Despite what they'd heard, they carried on rowing, even though they'd already seen that it was for no good. They were already sinking. The storm was already too much for them. But here they begin to hear the gospel. Here they begin to hear of salvation. Here they begin to hear of the way out. And all they do is they try to strive and to strive and to row and to row. First they'd heard the gospel, but now they try to row for shore. Is that what you're doing? You know judgment is upon you. You know you must be right with God. But rather than looking unto a Saviour who takes your sins in their entirety and pays the price as your substitute, rather than looking entirely by faith upon him and owning that you can do nothing, you carry on rowing. You row hard for the shore. You're going to save yourself, are you? Your works will bring about the deliverance, will it? Salvation's in your hands, is it? You'll apply yourself to religion. You'll apply yourself to the word of God. You'll apply yourself to keeping God's holy law. You'll start living as you know you should. That way that you never once did, but now the Lord's come and you're going to live. You're going to serve God. You're going to read your scriptures. You're going to seek Him. You're going to attend the meetings. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to row for shore, are you? Salvation's in your hands, is it? Salvation is of man, is it? Well, the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them, and they found they were powerless. The more they rowed, the deeper the ship sank. Nothing they did could bring about any good. For as Jonah tells us in chapter 2 and verse 9, salvation is of the Lord, not man. Not how hard you can row. Not how righteous you can live. You're sinking, and you're sinking fast. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Yea, they heard the gospel, and they sought to row to shore. But God, by His gospel, by His Spirit, will break you and will teach you, as Paul found in Romans 7, that when the law came, though he was once without it, though he once was alive without it, when the commandment came, it slew him, because the flesh, the sin within him revived. And he found that the harder he tried to live, the harder he rowed, the greater he sank. And sin bubbled up within him at the commandment. And it broke him, and it brought him to the point of crying out, who can deliver me, O wretched man that I am? Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Who? Jesus Christ, the substitute. The one who must die in the place of sinners. So these came to see that. Who shall deliver us? Jonah. So they cried out unto God, let us not perish for this man's life, though our sins bring about his death, though our rebellion brings about his death, though we the cause of his death, God, don't judge us for putting him to death. Save us through his death. Save us through his death. And they were given the faith to throw him overboard, and to trust that God would hear them, and to trust that his word was true, that should they do this, that the sea would be calm. And they threw him overboard, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. If you come to that point, having ceased from your works, having turned unto Jesus Christ, offering up him as your sacrifice unto God for your sins, believing that God will receive him for you, believing that his sacrifice will wash you from all your sins, believing that his blood will cleanse from every sin, if you come to that point, then the sea will cease from her raging. Then God's anger will be turned away. Then you will know the peace of God. And only then. Then you will fear the Lord exceedingly. Then you will know that salvation is of the Lord. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. O sinner, if Christ died in your place, it's because of your sins. You pierced him. You put him to death. You crucified him. You despised and hated him. You rejected him. Your sins put him to death. But sinner, if he bore your sins, and your rebellion and your hatred and your piercing of Christ was not that simply of the wicked who put him to death and rejected him and will have to pay for their sins in the end. If he bore your sins and bore your rejection of him and bore your despising of him, if he bore them for you, then his blood, his innocent blood, will not cry out against you as Abel's cried out against Cain. But his innocent blood will cry out for you salvation, because it's blood that says that all has been washed away. Yes, they hated me without a cause. Yes, you hated me. Yes, you pierced me. Yes, you slew me. But my blood has paid the price. And the sea is calm. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was in the ship with the mariners when the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and when there was a mighty tempest in the sea. And Jonah, in the midst of the tempest, slept in the boat. And the men cried out unto their gods. And the shipmaster came unto Jonah, fearing the lives of the men on the ship, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? For who else were on a ship in a storm? And who else was asleep in that ship when the men on that ship feared for their lives? The disciples were in a ship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus slept when a storm came upon the ship. And the disciples feared. But because Jesus was in the ship, and because he, as God, had power to calm the storm, he delivered them. Luke 8, chapter 22. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. For as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. They were in much a similar state as Jonah was. And if they knew their scriptures, they'd have remembered Jonah. And they'd have remembered the sign of Jonah. As Christ speaks about in Matthew, they'd have remembered that Jonah was on that ship. They'd have remembered the storm. And they'd have remembered the calm and the deliverance that God sent when Jonah was thrown overboard. And if they'd known that Jonah was a figure of their Saviour, and they knew that their Saviour was with them like Jonah asleep in the ship, then they, if they'd had faith, would have known that all will be well because Christ is with us. Our Saviour is with us. But in the circumstances, as we so often are when the trials and the troubles of life come upon us, in the circumstances, we look upon the circumstance, we hear the storm and we fear and we doubt and our faith is so weak. But Christ was with them, and he calmed the storm. And what gave him the power to calm that storm? Was it simply because he was God? Was it simply because he was the Son of God? As they said, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Was it simply that? Or is there more to this sign, more to this account that gave him the power? The fact that Christ, like Jonah, was asleep as he was in a ship with his disciples going across to the other side through a storm tells us what it is. Here's a picture of God's church, his people, as it were in a ship with Christ and an ark, going forth from this world through to the next, across the waters to the other side. And their salvation is assured because there's one in the midst who sleeps through death for them, who slept the sleep of death for them, who went into the depths for them, who, like Jonah, would, as it were, be thrown overboard for them and rise again for them. The fact that Christ arose from the sleep of death gave him the power to calm the storm. He died and he rose again, here in figure, later on in reality upon Calvary's cross. He died and he rose again, and because he died for his people who were in him when he died, who were in him when he was laid in the grave, who were in him when he rose from the grave, because he died and rose again, he rose from the sleep of death, they were brought safely to the other side, safely out of the tempest, safely out of the trouble, unto glory. He takes his people through safely to glory. No matter what storms you're brought through, no matter what trials or persecution, no matter what sin you may fall into, no matter how the seas may be troubled, if Christ is in the ship, your salvation is assured. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Can you by faith take him as they took Jonah and plunge him into the waters, knowing that he will rise again for you, knowing that he will take your sins and bury them, never to be brought forth again, knowing that he will enter into that fish, that whale, that monster of the deep for you, and knowing that he will come forth from it alive and you alive in him? Oh, like those men, have you got the faith to believe this? To, as it were, by faith, take Christ and sacrifice him as your sacrifice. Throw him overboard for you. If you have, you'll know that this manner of man is able to command the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now they threw him overboard, and the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. A picture of the cross, a picture of the death of Christ, a picture of his burial, a picture of his suffering and torment for his people. A substitute buried for them in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. As Christ affirmed in chapter 12 of Matthew, he answered and said unto those people who heard him, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He died. He really died. He really was slain for the sins of his people. Sinners like you and I. He really died, and he really was in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, and he really, truly rose again in power when he calmed the storm of that tempest that poured down from heaven on high against all manner of sin, against all unrighteousness of men. For the wrath of God is revealed against all manner of unrighteousness. But in the gospel of Christ, Christ having risen again, the power of God is made known. Because in his gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Because he took those sins into the belly of the earth, into the heart of the earth, and he buried them there. And he came out in newness of life with the righteousness of God for his people. For there is no sin upon any that rose out of that grave with Christ. Not one blemish. They are perfect. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Christ is. Christ in his gospel says unto you today, a greater than Jonas was thrown into the depths. A greater than Jonas was swallowed by the monster of the deep. A greater than Jonas was in the belly of a whale, a fish, the belly of hell. As Jonah chapter 2 verse 2 tells us, a greater than Jonas was in the deep for 3 days and 3 nights and cried out of the deep unto his God, as Jonah cried out, but came out. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. I suffered all these things, but God delivered me. Salvation is of the Lord in Christ by his gospel. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Christ rose from the dead. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why am I in the belly of hell? Because he took his people's sins as though they were his. I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you, but bury me, slay me, and the storm will be taken away and all will be calm. Do you believe it? Out of the depths he cried. But at the end he cried out, it is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. And he arose. He arose from the tomb. He ascended with all his people. He went up into glory. And he went forth resurrected before his ascension. And he went into Jerusalem. He went into the city. And he appeared unto many saints for 40 days. He proved his salvation. And Jonah went into Nineveh, preaching the gospel. And crying out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. When Christ ascended and left his disciples on earth, after 40 days the Spirit of God came down unto that city of Jerusalem, that city that slew the Saviour, that wicked and evil city. Even though it was religious, the Spirit of God came down in power at Pentecost and overthrew the hearts of rebellious sinners with such power that 3,000 were saved. And when Jonah went into Nineveh and preached, The king was so moved that he commanded the people, who can tell if God will turn and repent? God comes in the gospel and says to a hard-hearted and evil people, call unto me, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, because my son has been slain. Jonah has been buried. He's gone to hell for you. Christ has died. Oh, have you heard that gospel? Do you rejoice in it? Well, Jonah, as a descendant of Adam here, back to his fleshly ways, was grieved that Nineveh repented. Oh, how his legal spirit came to the fore. How we see the contrast of law and grace. He complained, he wanted to die. But God showed him through the good, which was destroyed, which had done him good, which Jonah complained and was angry that it was withered away. God showed him that God can have mercy. God's a God of grace. God will save. The natural man might fight against it. You might fight against it. You might feel like salvation should be earned. You might feel like the wicked should be judged. But you are wicked. You are as wicked as any. And if God's justice should be poured out upon you, you've not a hope of saving yourself. All around perish. But God has a people whom he has chosen, whom he puts in a ship with his son and takes them to the other side. And though they, like others, deserve to perish in the waters, he purposes to save them, not condemn them. Has he saved you? Or are you going to plead his justice and bring it upon your own head? Or are you going to cry out unto him for mercy and believe on the one who entered the depths for sinners? Oh, believer, you, do you get angry at the sin you see in the world? Do you get angry at the sin you see in the apostate church? Are you so taken up with that which grieves your spirit that you've forgotten the love and the mercy of the gospel? You've forgotten to forgive others as God himself first forgave you. Don't forget the message of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. Your salvation and the salvation of all God's people. You're here not to condemn, not to go forth with a message of condemnation, but with a message of life and righteousness, a ministration of righteousness, the gospel. To shine forth as God's light in a dark world. To preach Christ, to be witnesses of him. Oh, preach, preach, preach the gospel. For salvation is of the Lord. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Praise God.